اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز ان اسلام, السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. دی ملٹی میڈیا ڈپارٹمنٹ آف مرکزی انجمن خدام القرآن لاہور پاکستان پریزنٹس اے اسپیچ آف ڈاکٹر اسرار احمد, دی فاؤنڈر آف مرکزی انجمن خدام القرآن لاہور اینڈ تنظیم اسلامی, آن دی ٹاپک آف فیتھ. ناؤ پلیز لسن ٹو دی اسپیچ.
اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة مريم, اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, واذكر في الكتاب ابراهيم انه كان صديقا نبيا, اذ قال لابيه يا ابت لم تعبد ما لا يسمع ولا يبصر ولا يغني عنك شيئا, يا أبت إني قد جاءني من العلم ما لم يأتك فاتبعني أهدك صراطا سويا. وقال تبارك وتعالى قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العظيم. وعن طلحة بن عبيد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا رأى الهلال يقول اللهم أهله علينا بالأمن والإيمان والسلامة والإسلام. رواه الإمام الترمذي رحمه الله. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ربنا نظر قلوبنا بالإيمان واشرح صدورنا للإسلام ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى وتقبل منا فإنك خير المتقبلين. آمين يا رب العالمين. Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now you must be remembering, in the previous lecture we discussed first of all the literal meanings of the word Iman, and then number two the technical definition of Iman according to the Sharia. Here I forgot to mention the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I narrated the hadith in the beginning, but then in the lecture I forgot to mention about it. It was the practice. Hazrat Talha, who is one of the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 topmost Sahaba, Hazrat Talha is one of them. رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ وارضاہ. He is the reporter of this hadith. But the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, it was his practice, whenever he saw the new moon with which the new month starts according to the Islamic calendar, he used to pray, اللہم اہلہ علینا بالامن والایمان والسلامت والاسلام. O Allah, O Rabb, you usher in this new month, which is now beginning with this moon, with Amn and Iman and Salama and Islam. Here in this prayer, the Prophet included and these two pairs of words, Amn and Iman, because Iman is derived from Amn. And as we shall see later on, Amn is the fruit of Iman. Actually, the final result of Iman is to give one an inner peace, peace in the soul, peace in his heart, the inner tranquility, the inner satisfaction, freedom from fear, freedom from grief and anxiety and sorrow. So that is actually the real fruit of Iman. So Amun al-Iman and Salamata, Salama of Islam. And I also recited the ayah from Surah Al-An'am in my previous lecture. That also gives us the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question in that ayah, you know, 81 of Surah Al-An'am. فَأَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Which of the two groups has more right for this amn, for this inner peace, the peace at heart, the tranquility, inner tranquility, to be free from fear and grief and anxiety? Who of these two groups, and who of the two groups? In the preceding ayat, that is the discussion between Muwahideen and Mushrikeen. So have the Mushriks the right of Amn, or only the Mu'mins, they can get Amn? فَأَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Who of these two groups has more right and is more entitled to get inner peace? If you know, you give the answer. And then the answer was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Only those who believe, who have real iman, and then they don't pollute their iman with zulm. And by zulm here is meant shirk. And we shall see inshallah after we complete our discussion on iman, what is meant by shirk, what are the different shades of shirk, what are the different forms of shirk. So if there is iman, real iman, without any pollution of shirk in it, then those people, only those people are entitled to have the inner peace and inner tranquility. So actually these ayat and this prayer of the Prophet ﷺ I quoted as examples that iman has a relationship with amal. Literally this word is derived from amal, and amal is the fruit, the inner peace and tranquility is the fruit that you get in this world due to iman, based on iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the real iman. Then you know we proceeded to the third topic, the subject matter of iman. And I told you, iman deals with the same problems, with the same questions with which all the philosophers, all the thinkers, all the sages, whether they belong to East or to the West, they had been grappling. The same questions had been answered by prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, on the basis of a claim that we have a special source of knowledge which is not available to the other human beings, and the answers to these questions to us have come through that special source. But I forgot to make one point at that place, you know, and that is, as I told you, there are two types of human beings. People who follow blindly, don't question. In whichever society they are born, they accept whatever is being believed there. And they start their practical journey of life. They don't question it. But there have been, and there will always be, although a microscopic minority, but people who question, why should I believe it? How do you believe it? What's the argument? And then rejecting the beliefs and the norms of their society, then they take upon themselves to know the truth for themselves. So these two types of persons always existed, although the great majority belong to the first category. 99.9% people belong to that first category. Only 0.01 or, to be more correct, 0.001% belong to the second category. In the same way, there are two branches of knowledge. One is the knowledge of the physical world. And the source to get that knowledge, these are two sources. The sense organs. You see, you hear, you touch, you taste, you smell. The five basic sense organs. You get the sense data. Then there is the computer which processes that data, infers, argues, reaches some conclusions. Then that is stored in the memory of this mind. And in this way, that physical knowledge, it has been progressing from Adam till Edom. And it will continue progressing till that time that this world comes to an end. So this is one source of knowledge, one line of knowledge, one branch of knowledge. Knowledge of the physical world, knowledge of the physical things. And you know, this is the science, which we call science and technology. This is one branch of knowledge. But we find in history that there was a yearning, an urge in human beings to have the total knowledge, to know what this universe is, where from has it come, what we are, what is the nature of existence, where are we heading, is there any existence of ours beyond the death, or death is the end? So these questions, which I enumerated in my previous lecture, they are the basic questions with which the philosophers grapple. And what is this philosophy? An endeavor on the part of human beings to know the total truth.
We must know the total truth.
Because our behavior in this world, the practical attitude that we adopt in this world, is based on some philosophy, some ideology. Whether you believe that this is the life, only worldly life, there is no life beyond that, or you believe that there is a life after death, and we will be brought to the book. We will have to explain our conduct in this world. We will have to face the grand accountability of the Day of Judgment. Now the result is, you know, it's mind apart. A person who thinks that only this world is our life, the natural and logical result would be Babar Vaish Kosh Ki Alam Dobara Nist. Enjoy yourself. Eat, drink and be merry. And don't, you know, don't worry what is halal, what is haram, what is permissible, what is not permissible. You should have the maximum sensual gratification that you can have. You should have and accumulate all the wealth that you can. You should have all the luxuries of life that you have, that you can have. You must enjoy yourself to the maximum, because there is not going to be any other life. But if a person thinks and believes there is going to be another life, and we will have to explain our conduct in this world, so now the attitude will be absolutely different. So every person has a philosophy of his own. Whether he has thought over it and chosen the philosophy for himself consciously, willingly, or he is only following a philosophy that is, you know, accepted by his society, the questions are the same. The answers which the people believe, they take them for granted. Okay, there is no life, or there is life after death. Okay, we are like animals. No, we are not like animals. We have a special existence. They accept those ideas and they, you know, start their life accordingly. But every person has a philosophy. Every person has his own world view. Every person has his own Weltanschauung, which is called in the German philosophy. This is the basic term. The world view, your own view of this universe, your own views about your life, your own view about your reality, your own view about ethics. Everybody has it. Maybe he is saying something else, doing something else. But whatever he is doing is the real philosophy that he has in his mind. Because he is acting to his philosophy, his ideology, his world view, his Weltanschauung, that is there with every human being, whether consciously or unconsciously. Now, I told you that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when wahi came to him, he said to his father, in beautiful verse, Ya Abate, oh my dear father, my beloved father, my respected father, إِنِّي قَدْ جَعَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَمْ يَعْتِكُ. To me has come a knowledge which didn't come to you. I told you that the questions are the same, the philosophical questions. But the modes of answering those questions are different. The philosopher said, we feel it is like that. Our intellect, our reasoning, our argument, our logic, it leads us to these conclusions. Maybe we are correct. Maybe there is some mistake. I told you, no philosopher till this date has claimed certainty. No philosopher up till date. And I quoted Allama Iqbal, the biggest poet philosopher the world of Islam has produced in the 20th century of Christian era. The humility that he has, I don't claim that whatever I have said in these lectures, the reconstruction of religious thought in Islam, it is the final truth. We should maintain an attitude, a student-like attitude, to go on thinking, exploring, and maybe that as time passes, more sound ideas are presented. So that is the position of Allama Iqbal, and that is the position of every philosopher or thinker or sage. But as for the prophets, they claim certainty. Alif Lam Mim, Zalikal Kitab La Rayba Fih. There's no doubt in this. No book in this world starts with this loud claim, big claim, tall claim. No book. It's just possible that might be that Torah also started with this claim. It might have been. But because it has not been preserved, we can't say. It's just possible that Injil might have started with such a claim. Just possible. We can't say because Injil has not been preserved. But the real fact remains that no book in this world exists which starts with this claim that this is the truth, this is the total truth. There is no iota of doubt in it. Alif Lam Mim, Zalikal Kitab Al Araba, Hudal Lil Muttaqeen. This is the guidance, the total guidance. And I gave you the example of Hazrat Ibrahim. You know, a son saying to his father, the father could have said, you are my son, I am your father. I have more experience. You were just born, you know. I have brought you up. Before my eyes, you are going, you know, you are being brought up. And you say, I must follow you. But the argument that Hazrat Ibrahim presented was, Ya bati inni qad jaani min al-ilm ma lam yatik fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiya. Oh dear father, to me a special knowledge has reached, has come, which didn't reach you. So you have to follow me. Fattabi'ni, follow me. Ahdika siratan sawiya. I will lead you to the right path. So that is the, you know, position of the prophets. The difference. Questions are the same, but the modes of answering, the source of the knowledge, different. Philosophers, they are saying from their own minds, their own intellects, their own reasoning. And the prophet's claim is not our ideas. We don't claim the proprietorship of these ideas. We are not the authors of these books. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said, I am the author of this book. What a beautiful book I have written, which had been accepted as the topmost example of Arabic literature. Till this date, even the Christians and the Jews who are Arabs, they accept that this is the biggest piece of literature in Arabic language. But Muhammad didn't claim that I wrote it. On the contrary, he said, no, no, no. It's the revelation. It's Allah's book. He has revealed it to me. So that is the difference. But it is 100% correct. Now let us go to the fourth discussion. Fourth topic. What were the answers, but I should say, what are the answers given by all the prophets to these basic philosophical questions? And I told you in the previous lecture that these answers have been the same from Adam to Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There has been no difference. There has been difference in the practical guidance, in the Sharia, in the rules, in the detailed laws of the Sharia. The Sharia of Moses and Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they differ in many aspects. But no difference regarding this Iman. The answers to these philosophical questions have been the same throughout. Now please, one by one. Answer number one. This universe which is extending before our eyes, and we don't know the size of this universe till this date. We might claim that our knowledge has, you know, progressed tremendously, but still we don't know where it begins, where it ends. But we know for certain that this universe has a beginning and an end. It didn't exist forever, from ever, and it will not continue forever. This is the first answer. This is hadith, not qadeem. This is fani, not baqi. This is the terminology of the Muslim philosophers. Hadith versus qadeem. Hadith something which didn't exist before and then it came into existence. Qadeem, something which was existing all the time, from ever. Baqi, which will remain forever. And fani, which is going to perish, which is going to end. This universe is hadith and it is fani. It has a beginning and it has an end. Now, please note one point. Previously, the physicists, they thought, the physicists of the Newtonian era, they thought that matter is indestructible. This universe is from ever, will remain forever. It has no beginning and no end. But this era of physics, which is called the Einstein era of physics, after the theory of relativity, there is a revolution in the field of physics. Now you must have heard the Big Bang theory. Now it is accepted. It has a beginning. It started with a big explosion, the Big Bang. And from that moment it is expanding. The theory of expanding universe. In a spiral way it is extending. But a time will come when it will recoil. It will go again, you know, and it will become one point. Just as so many galaxies, you know, they have perished, and now they are represented by black holes in this universe, in this atmosphere, in this universe, in the actually. So that is here, science now has come very near to the answer that was given by the prophets. The answer was, this universe, this existence, it has not existed from ever. It will not remain forever. It started at a particular moment in time, and it will end up. It might be billions and trillions of years, you know, from this date, but this is accepted by the science, that it will come to an end. Answer number two. This universe is hadith and fani, but there is a person, let me use this word, because we believe in a personal God, not impersonal God. There is a person who created this universe. And that person, he, now let me use the pronoun, because the word person, you know, it doesn't appear to be good for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He now, I use this pronoun. He is from ever and will remain forever. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. He created this universe and he is the creator. And this universe is the creature. It was created by him. He is alone. One. Not only one, alone. Please note, there's a world of difference between one and alone. To one, there is a second one. To a second one, there is a third one. Possibilities are there. Alone. None with him. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Not only wahid. Al-wahidul qahhar. These ones also occur for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ahad is, you know, much stronger word for this concept. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Proclaim, Allah is alone. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. He is one and alone. He has no beginning, no end. He existed from ever. He will remain and exist forever. He is qadeem. He is baqi. Allahu baqi. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. He is the only existence that will continue forever. Number three, call him by any name. All the good names belong to him. لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. And all the good attributes are with him to the maximum extent. Absolute, limitless. Any value that you can imagine, any good thing that you can imagine, is in his person, present with him, and boundless with no limits. You know, power, authority, qudra, huwa ala kulli shayin qadeer. He has all power, all authority, can do everything. فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. He can do whatever he likes. And he has the authority for everything. And this, you know, in English you say, he is omnipotent. This is the attribute. Now you have another attribute of ilm. It's a value. A person who has knowledge is better, is superior to a person who doesn't have knowledge. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They are not equal. But now, he has all the knowledge. هُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Whatever you hide, he knows it. Whatever you express, he knows it. Whatever is there in your hearts, you yourself might not be conscious of it. Because today we know, there are levels, you know, conscious level of our mind, the subconscious level of our mind, the unconscious level of our mind, three levels. Maybe I am not conscious of what I have in my mind, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows even those things which are there in your mind, in your heart, but you are not conscious of it. So he is omniscient. then you have another value, life. A living thing is at a higher level of existence than something which doesn't have any life. So it's a value. He is Al-Hayy. He is the living one. And really, he only is the living one. His life doesn't depend upon food. Your life depends upon food. You can't live without air. You can't live without water. You can't live without food. But he, yut'imu wala yut'am, he feeds you, but he doesn't need any food. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ فِي قُوَّةٍ وَتِينٍ. He gives, he feeds everything, but he doesn't need any food for himself. But your life, there are so many weaknesses with it. You are tired. You go to sleep. He is never tired. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُعُوبٍ. Never any fatigue. Or, we were never fatigued. We were never tired. Fatigue cannot, touch us. Then, he will never die. And he doesn't go to sleep. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. He was neither begotten nor he begets. لم يلد ولم يولد. So actually all these things, if you take them together, all these answers to the basic metaphysical questions, if you take them together, they are called Iman Billah. Or you can denote it with one word, Tawheed. This is Tawheed. One creator. This universe is creature. It was created. There is one creator. That creator is from ever, will remain forever. He is alone in his person. He is unique in his attributes. Nobody, nothing, no person like him in any respect. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. وَلِدُ اللَّهَ عَبِدُ الرَّحْمَنِ أَيَّمَّا تَلُوْ فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Call him by Allah. Call him by the name of Ar-Rahman. Whomsoever you are addressing, you must know that he has all the good names, he has all the attributes, and all his attributes are absolute, without any limits. Boundless. So these are the concepts taken together. You call them Tawheed or Iman Billah. Now come to the second article of faith, or second article of Iman. And this is, a bit lengthy one. You have to understand it, because I want that you should know the logic of this Iman. First of all, man is the masterpiece of his creation. He created him as his vicegerent, his khalifa. إِنِّي جَعَلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. He is the masterpiece of creation. To the extent that he ordered all the angels to prostrate before Adam. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. All the angels, all of them, they fell before Adam in prostration. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ بِالرُّوحِ فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. This was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all the angels. When I have created him and I have given him the final finishing touches, then instilled in him and blown into him from my own spirit, then fall down before him in prostration. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ بِالرُّوحِ فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. This man has a double existence, composite existence. It has an animal being and a spiritual being. Two absolutely independent and different and rather opposite existences, they are included in one existence in this man. The beautiful couplet from Sher Sadi is, Aajmi zada turfa maajunast, as farishta sarishta was haiwan. This human being, is a very peculiar, composite type of existence it has. Double. As Karishta, Sarishta, Vanshava. Within his personality, there is an angel also, and there is a Havan, and an animal also. So we have a double existence, animal existence, bodily existence, animal existence, and a spiritual existence. And actually, as I quoted you the ayah, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. His spiritual existence is supreme. No one in this universe is equal to the high level of spiritual existence that man has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the spirit which was blown into Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it Ruhi, my spirit. When I have created Adam, given him my finishing touches, and I have blown or instilled into him from my own spirit, then fall before him in prostration. The same words, you know, appear in the Quran twice. In Surah Al-Hijr, the spirit of his, it was created much earlier than this bodily existence. All the spirits of all the human beings were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much before the creation of this universe. Much before the creation of this physical universe. Science cannot reach that point. Science has reached up to the Big Bang. But what was there before the Big Bang, you know? That is Alamul Amr. This is Alamul Khalq. Ala lahul khalq wal amr. These are two different planes of existence. But this ruh, this, you know, the spirits of human beings, they belong to Alam Amr. Yasaluna kani ruh, uri ruhu min amri rabbi. This is the amr of Rabb. This is the amr of my Lord. This doesn't belong to this physical world. Although our bodies, our animal existence belongs to this physical world. These two alams, Alamul Amr or Alamul Khalq, only they are joined together in human beings. No other creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has both these alams, both these worlds joined together in his existence. Number three, the life of this vajrant of Allah, this masterpiece of creation. خَلَقْتُهُ بَيَدَيَّ, whom I have created with my both of my hands. خَلَقْتُهُ بَيَدَيَّ, whom I have made supreme over all the other creatures. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. I am only referring to these ayat. I am not translating them. But this tells, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have given him fazila over our creatures. Now the life of this vajrant of Allah is not these 30, 40, 60, 80 years. Is that the whole life? Umre daraz maang ke laaye the char din, do arzu mein kat gaye, do intezaar mein. These 30, 40, 60, 70 years. And subtract from this period also, the period of your childhood, early adolescence, when you knew nothing. Again subtract from this period also, beyond 80s, or maybe 85, 90 maybe, if somebody is existing after that, كَيْلَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِلْمِنْ شَيَا. His faculties now are decreasing. His intelligence going. His memory leaving him. So now within those two limitations, you have at the most 30, 40 years of a conscious life in which you think, you take decisions, you do something, you make something or unmake something. So actually, is this the only period of our existence? If it is so, how can we accept that he is the vajrant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He has that high position. So actually it's not so. Life of human beings is much longer, much longer, much longer. Rather, although it has a beginning, but that beginning is not from the birth in this world, not from the conception in the wombs of our mothers. I have lived in this world 61 and a half years. You may add 9 months that I passed in the womb of my mother. Is that the old? No. You were created long before in the forms of spirit. And all the spirits of all human beings were created at once. And then they stood, we all stood before our Lord. And He got the covenant from us. أَلَسْتَ بِرَبِّكُمْ؟ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Am I not your Lord? Why not? We accept you, our Lord. This is the Ahd, Ahdu Alast. This is the covenant that was taken from all the human beings. We were all present here, having self-consciousness. You know, whenever you make an agreement with somebody, you say, I am making this agreement, fully conscious of what I am saying. بَقَائِمِيَ هُوشُ حَوَاسِ I am committing this thing. I am knowing what I am saying. And I take full responsibility. That big covenant, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ, could it be without our self-consciousness? If it was without self-consciousness, it has no value. It carries no weight. So we were present there. The beginning was from that time. But we can say that there is no end to human life. Because we know it for sure. It has been given in the Quran hundreds of times. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. We will exist forever. We have a beginning, but no end. This is the position of human being. That is why Iqbal said, تُو اسے پیمانے امروز و فردا سے نہ ناپ. You are bearing your life with this small, you know, this measure of day and night. One day, one night go to make one day. And then 7 days go to make a week. And then, you know, 52 weeks go to make a year. And then you are 62 years old. And you lived here so many years. Is that the measure of your life? تو اسے پیمانے امروز و فردا سے نہ ناپ. جاویداں پہم جواں ہر دم جواں ہے زندگی. It's to continue forever. There's not going to be any end. That is life. That's the reality of human life. Now what has happened? From that very long life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separated a very small chunk with a pause in between. That pause is death. موت ایک زندگی کا وقفہ ہے, یعنی آگے بڑھیں گے دم لے کر. Death is not the end of our existence. It's not the end. It's the beginning of the real life. This small chunk which has been taken away, separated from that long life by this small pause of death, this is our worldly life which we are leading here. And this is actually a period of testing. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This period of 30 years is a period of testing. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. You have been given this body, physical body. You have these limbs. You can do something. You can work. You can strive for something. And you are being tested whether you are working according to the pleasure of your Lord and Creator, or you are going astray. You are turning back from your Lord and Creator, with whom you made a covenant. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. This is the only purpose of this life. And you know, Iqbal, I so much, you know, I give him so much importance, because he has actually explained very subtle and very, you know, deep concepts of Iman and Quran in very simple ways. سروری زیبا فقط اس ذات بے ہمتا کو ہے, حکمراں ہے ایک وہی باقی بتانے حاضری. Is it poetry? It's not that poetry, the classical poetry of the poets, of the Indian poets, of عشق and ہجر and وصال and you know, محبوب and his eyes or her eyes. Oh, all these things, they were the subjects of poetry. But Iqbal has used this medium to express the essence of deen. سروری زیبا فقط اس ذات بے ہمتا کو ہے, حکمراں ہے ایک وہی باقی بتا دے عالم. Whosoever claims sovereignty for himself, he is claiming to be God, to be equal to God. This is the shirk, biggest shirk of our time. This is the simplest form of saying that biggest truth, the biggest philosophy, that's the basis of Islamic State, the system of caliphate. In the same way, what is this life? Don't think these 40, 60, 70 years, that is your life. You are mistaken. تو اسے پیمانے امروز و فردا سے نہ ناپ. جاویداں پہم جواں ہر دم جواں ہے زندگی. And the last, you know, couplet of this poem is, الزمِ ہستی سے تو ابرا ہے مانندِ حباب، اس ضیاں خانے میں تیرا امتحان ہے زندگی. This is امتحان، this is a period of testing. خلق الموت والحیات لیبلوکم ایکم احسن عملا. He has actually expressed very beautifully the meaning and the essence of this ayah. You know, there is in Surah Ad-Dad, مِنْ مِتْخَتِنَ مْشَاجِنْ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيًا بَصِيرًا. We have created man from, you know, mixed nutfa, because that zygote, you know, after, you know, fertilization of the ovum from the mother, in the uterus of the mother, the sperm goes and fertilizes it. And from that, now it's one cell. This is the nutfati namshadi. Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfati namshadi. Nabtalihi. To test him. This period of our life, this small chunk of our life, over 30 years, we have been given this body, this animal existence, to prove our worth. نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This is the period of testing. It's only a matter of time. During this world, you appear in examinations. Usually the duration of an examination is three hours. And this examination is for 30 years. The difference is only quantitative, not qualitative. When 3 hours have passed, there is a loud announcement. Stop writing. The same thing will happen to each of us. Now death has come. There is a period of testing, gone. Whatever you had to prove, you have proved already. Whatever you could earn, the evil or the good, you have earned it already. Stop now. Now wait for the result of the examination to be declared. And that is actually the day of judgment. All people will die. You know, the most famous and the first sermon that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered. And I couldn't find it in the collection of ahadith that we have, Ahlul Sunnah. This sermon has been reported in Nahjul Balagha, the book that was compiled by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His writings, you know, his judgments are included in his sermons, his khutbahs. And in that there is a chapter of sermons of the Prophet, Khutbatul Nabawi. And there you find that sermon. That when the order came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَانْزِلْ أَشِيرَةَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, then the Prophet invited all the Bani Hashim to meals. After feeding them, then he stood up to present his message. But there was hooting. People, you know, they didn't listen. They went away without listening to him. But after some days, he again called them. He again invited all the Bani Hashim to meals. This time, they felt some shame. We have taken food twice. So let us listen what he has to say. Then he delivered that khutbah. إِنَّ الرَّائِدَ لَا يَغْزِبُ أَهْلَهُ وَاللَّهِ لَوْ كَذَبْتُ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا مَا كَذَبْتُكُمْ وَلَوْ غَرَرْتُ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا مَا غَرَرْتُكُمْ وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوْ إِنِّي لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَإِلَى النَّاسِ كَافَّةً وَاللَّهِ لَتَمُوتُنَّ كَمَا تَنَامُونَ ثُمَّ لَتُبْعَثُنَّ كَمَا تَسْتَيْقِظُونَ ثُمَّ لَتُحْسَبُنَّ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ ثم لتجزمن بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسوء سوءا وإنها لجنة أبدا أو لنار أبدا. Most beautiful sermon. I have included this sermon in a booklet of mine in Urdu, Dawat ila Allah. The text and translation is there. And this is included also in the English translation of that pamphlet, Call to Allah. The text of this khutbah as well as the translation in English is there. I am not going to devote any time to the translation here. But I want to mention it. That Ba'se Ba'dal Maut, resurrection after death, then you will have to assemble before your Lord. This is called Hashr. Then you will have to face the accountability. You will have to present your account, your whole account of this life that you passed in this world. What good you have earned, what evil you have earned. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Then there will be judgment. This is the day of judgment. We call it Yawmuddin. And according to the judgment, you will be rewarded. وَإِنَّهَا لَجَنَّةٌ أَبَدًا أَوْ لَنَارٌ أَبَدًا.
وَاللَّهِ لَتَمُوتُنَّ كَمَا تَنَامُونَ. I swear by God, by Allah, you will all die as you go to sleep every night. Then you will be resurrected as you wake up every morning. Then you will be brought to the book. You will have to present your account. You will have to face the accountability. Then you will be rewarded. Good reward for good deeds. Bad punishment for bad deeds. وَإِنَّهَا لَجَنَّةٌ أَبَدَىٰ وَلَنَارٌ أَبَدَىٰ. It's going to be either the heaven, the paradise forever, or the hell, fire of hell forever. Now taken together all these things, this is Iman bil Akhirah, or Ma'ad. We started with Tawheed or Iman Billah. And this is Ma'ad or Iman bil Akhirah. Now we come to the third. And here we have to start with the question. You know, you test somebody after teaching you something, after giving you something. You have taught the class for full 1 year. Then you ask them to appear in the examination and prove whether you have actually learnt or not, you understood or not, whether you are eligible for the next class for promotion or not. You must teach them something. Then you can take examination. Then you can ask them to appear in the examination. In the same way, you give someone something and then test. For example, you give a $10 bill to your son, your small son, child. Maybe he is 6 years, 7 years. Then you see what he does. Whether he runs to a candy shop or he goes to a bookshop. And you will understand what is his temperament. What is, you know, what is his attitude? What are his priorities? Either purchases some toys or some books. You know, what are his tendencies? So actually you test by giving something and you give examination to a person after teaching him something. What have been taught? What we have been taught? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. What has been given? We have been given. On the basis of what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. This is the question. And question is always, should always be there if you want increase in your knowledge. First you postulate a question. Then you try to find the answer to that question. And that's the only way of increase in knowledge. You advance in knowledge after having questions before you. So this is the question. On what basis am I going to be judged? What was given to me? What was I taught? So please note the answer to this question. Number one, he gave you, or I should say, as if I am, you know, saying whatever has been given in the Quran, we gave you, Allah says, we gave these human beings eyes to see, ears to hear, and mind to ponder upon. Basic faculty. Even our animal existence has got these faculties. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُعَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Every one of them is responsible and accountable on the basis of these basic faculties that have been bestowed on them. They hear, they see, and then they argue and infer. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُعَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Don't you see our science in this universe? أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Don't you see with your eyes? Are you blind? Who he is? Who has created all this? These are all signs. All our creations, all the physical phenomena, they are our signs. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ آيَةٍ من ماء فاهيا به الارض بعد موتها وبث فيها من كل دابة وتصريف الرياح والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والارض لآيات لقوم يعقلون. These are the signs. Look to them. Khol aankh, zameen dekh, falak dekh, faza dekh. مشرق سے ابھرتے ہوئے سورج کو ذرا
دیکھیں.
But don't see only with the eyes of an animal. You must think over what you are seeing. You must ponder over what you are hearing. You must be a human being. So that is the basic faculty. The same, you know, thing has been given in that ayah. Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfatin amshajin nabtalihi faj'alnahu samian basira. We made him samian basir. He sees and listens. So these are the basic faculties. Number two, he has instilled within the human nafs the ability to discriminate between good and evil. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ اِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ اِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ اِذَا يَخْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَالنَّفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We have given this knowledge to every human being. What is good, what is evil. What is maruf, what is munkar. That is why you know what is the meaning of maruf. Something which is recognized. And what is munkar? Something which you don't recognize. Your nature abhors evil. Or your nature, by very nature, you love good. So actually, this is there. This knowledge of evil and good that is inherent in our personalities. That is the basis of the judgment. Basis number two. First of all, the faculties of seeing and hearing and arguing. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Number two, the basic discrimination. Man knows by his very nature what is good, what is evil. Number three, and it's on top of all, in the spirit that we have instilled in you, grown into you, you have two things. You have a cognition of Allah, of Rabb, Ma'rifa, inherent in the souls and spirits of human beings. And number two, the love of Allah that is inherent in the spirit. It is from Him. And you know, there's a saying in Proverb in Arabic language, كُلُّ شَيْنْ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَصْلِهِ. Everything wants to return to its origin. Where from it has come, it wants to go there. كُلُّ شَيْنْ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَصْلِهِ. And you might be knowing that in physics we know today that all the rays which are coming from the sun, they have come billions and trillions of miles away. But there is an inherent tendency in every ray, by making a very big circle, they want to return to the sun. كُلُّ شَيْنْ يَرْجُوْ إِلَىٰ أَصْلِكَ. So these, our souls, our spirits, because they have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَسَلُونَكَ عَلِي رُوحُ قُلِ رُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. They have a tendency. They want to get nearer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually that is the tendency inherent in you. We blew into you from our own spirit. And in that spirit of yours, you have the cognition, the gnosis. You spell it with G, gnosis, but it is pronounced as gnosis. The knowledge, the marfa, the cognition, recognition, you know, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is inherent in your souls and spirits. And the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inherent in your souls and spirits. You know, when human nature is perverted, he attaches that love to something else. That love actually is inherent in you, so that you should love Allah, your creator, your sustainer. But you start loving this world, the luxuries of this world, the sensual gratifications, the wealth, the nation, the country, some ideology, ایک تصور کے حسن مبہم پر ساری ہستی لٹائی جاتی ہے. There are people who have sacrificed everything they had for the cause of some ideology. Had the communists, you know, not sacrificed their lives, all their belongings. They faced the firing squads, laid down their lives. For what? For an idea, ideology. ایک تصور کے حسن مبہم پر ساری ہستی لٹائی جاتی ہے. زندگی تر کے آرزو کے بعد کیسے سانسوں میں ڈھالی جاتی ہے. If there is no goal in life, if there is no aim for living, if you don't have any ideal, if you don't have any adarsh, if you don't have any nasabal ayn, actually you are living as animals, not as human beings. So that is it. And actually this love in you,
was created so that we should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the basis of these five faculties, sense organs and the intellect, then the discrimination, the knowledge of evil and good, then the cognition of Allah and love of Allah inherent in human spirits. On the basis of these, you will be judged on the Day of Judgment. Every human being will be judged there, whether there was any prophet sent or not, whether there was any messenger of Allah sent or not, whether there was any book revealed or not. But it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has made that test and examination easy for you by sending wahi through his angels to selected persons, selected human beings. Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuhan wa ala Ibrahim wa ala Imran ala al-alamin. He selected them. And these peoples, they were above doubt in character. Nobody could point any finger to their character. They were above doubt. And then they were selected, wahi was sent to them, and then they were appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide people to the right path, to convey to them the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then present in their own life, in their own character, a model for humanity to follow. These people we call prophets or messengers of Allah. The message which came, that is wahi, that was recorded in the form of books. And who brought this wahi? They are the angels. So now you join these things. Iman bil malaika, iman bil kutub, iman bil anbiya, wa rusul. And this we call iman bil risala. This is the third article of faith. Third pillar of iman. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.
Dear brothers and sisters, please note our contact for audio and video speeches of Dr. Sar Ahmad. Maktaba Khuddamul Quran, Quran Academy, 36 K Model Town, Lahore, Pakistan. Phone 9242-586-9501. 586-9502 and 586-9503. Our fax is 583-4000. You can send your emails on info@tanzeem.org. May Allah bless us with the understanding of Islam and give us the courage to act upon it. Ameen.